Hello. Hello, Fightful Faithful, and welcome to the final episode of NXT. The final episode of the post-NXT black and gold brand podcast thing. I'm your host, Alex Pawlowski, and with me now, as always, is Kate Hensler. Kate, say hi to the people.
Hello, the people. Hope you're doing well today. If this is WWE, so I really should say you people. But man, I had so much fun with you on Sunday into the hours of
Monday.
We did
have a lot of fun, yeah.
And then now here we're doing this. So that's me.
We sure
I am
are.
Not in a flashy outfit. I'm in a very bland gray to be more representative of tonight's definitely taped episode. That's kind of my thoughts on the overall thing was like, it happened.
Yeah.
Tonight. Yeah. Tonight, an episode happened.
Tonight, and this is the way NXT ends. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. Like, we'll see. You know, like, I mean, I don't want to cast aspersions on the in-ring work because the in-ring work is usually really, really good.
Yeah.
And there was not an exception tonight. It just felt definitely like every time they run that damn rainbow commercial and they're like 9:14. I was like, oh, damn, that's next week, isn't it? Okay. All right. Here we go. We're going to have to just maybe we're being too harsh. Maybe we don't know yet how next week is going to go. I mean, listen, I get a lot of flack from a lot of people about being overly pessimistic or never letting things play out. You know, I should let things play out.
Let Kate, them play out, Alex.
Let it play out, Kate. I need to let it play out.
Yeah, no, we always get rewarded for that.
Yeah.
Retribution.
Yep. All the things.
Hurt business.
Out. Yeah. One of the things that happens on the post Raw show with SRS and Denise Salcedo is they send in super chats. By the way, you should send in a super chat because that helps us out a lot, and we'll read it on air. But a lot of the stuff they get at the beginning of the episode is about anything other than Raw. And so our first, as is tradition now, our first super chat comes in from Anthony Pride, who says, I don't mean to go off topic. Hey, man, do you. But the three strikes match on Dark should have been on Dynamite. Now that's a match between Big Swole and Diamante, a three strikes match, which if you don't know is one is pinfall, two is submission, three is knockout. And that match was on Dark. I have not seen it yet cause I had to do this. But I can't wait to watch it. I'll watch it right after I do my second podcast of the night. But my thing with the women's division is now you have all this time on Mondays and Tuesdays on YouTube to run the whole feud. But then when it's time for the blow off, especially when it's an amazing stipulation match, like a three strikes match, run that shit on Dynamite. You got enough time. You got to do it. This has got to be the last time they do this. By all accounts, the match tonight between Swole and Diamante was amazing, and it should have been on cable TV.
Yeah, I'll just go ahead and agree with you there, especially if you are going to build out feuds in general on Dark and Elevation. I feel like putting, like you said, the blow off, or if they're going to make it special with stipulations, at least on Rampage, hopefully on Dynamite, but Diamante has been absolutely crushing it on Dark. Like, she's been fantastic. She's really, really come a long way, and man, she lays her shit in, which is like my favorite when you see women who lay it in. But thank you for the super chat. And yeah, send in those super chats. It's the best way that you can help us. Leave a thumbs up on this video so people know where to find us on YouTube. And holy cow, go over to Fightful Select and read some details about Kevin Owens and when his contract is expiring, because it's not 2023, people. I can let you know that. But yeah, Fightful Select has so much more on the Adam Cole developments that happened and a bunch of other great stuff. A lot of juicy details behind that paywall, so get on it. But yeah, we're here to talk NXT, though.
Ryan Sullivan doesn't want to talk about that. He wants to ask how those DMs are, Catherine. Kate?
Okay, first of all, Ryan, my wonderful co-host at the Mark Order Pod on Wednesday nights, by the way, thanks for the money, jerk. My DMs are not great. And my name is not Catherine. My full name is Kate. I'm not Katie. I'm not Catherine. I'm not Kathleen. My full shoot name is Kate because my parents were like, they're going to call her Kate anyway. So don't perpetuate this nonsense. Thanks for the money.
I'm just going to read these because we don't have Luis as far as I know. So I'm just going to read these super chats as they come in because I don't have a way to organize them right now. So I'm just going to say Holland's headbutts look awful, says Hamancito Gomez. They don't look great. He doesn't want to, he does a lot of this one where he puts his own hand on the guy's forehead and then headbutts his own hand very obviously, but actually puts both hands there. Just headbutts it right there. Ow. That hurts my head. I don't know about yours, but
I tried to give you a high five.
Man, it's not worth it. Not tonight. JJ Lee says Gargano's been killing it since the kitchen promos. He really, really has. We're going to talk about that. Highlight of me for the entire night was the Gargano segment. We'll talk in detail about that probably. Zach Barber says next week should be a beautiful homegoing service. I mean, maybe tonight is the funeral specifically, but like, because next week is like they're in a new place. Are they in a better place? We'll see. I don't know. Oh, gosh.
I mean, there's also a wedding, so it's difficult.
Yeah.
How do you dress for both?
They double booked the church, and you never want to double book the church.
I'll give them this. It's efficient as hell.
Yeah. Joey Bag of Donuts says his favorite part was when Walter said, "It's not the tumor." It's true. He didn't say that. The intangible one, Cliff Beard, says Electra Lopez in a red coat and hat made me think she's now Carmen Sandiego. That's a fantastic reference. As Captain America, I understood that reference. But yeah, no, where in the world is she? I have no idea.
Where in the world is NXT talent going? I think that's very apropos.
We don't know. We don't know. Oh, boy. And then we got Joseph Kirai saying, first time catching a live stream in a while. Sad to see this NXT era end, but happy to be here with Team Kalex. Team Kalex is super over. We're so over that a dude made a logo for us in the style of the new NXT logo, and it's bomb ass. It's amazing. It's
the absolute best. I'm going to change it back to my pinned tweet because it made me so excited. His name was Eric. He rules. Thank you so much for doing that. That was the coolest thing ever.
Awesome. It's so great. I loved it. It was perfect. I want it to be our official logo.
I know, me too.
So somehow, Mr. Cake is saying the NXT and with a crowd cheering MSK. Who'd have thunk that a few months ago? That's crazy. And then the Nerd Guru referencing my earlier comments. Let it play out. I'm still waiting for Charlotte beating Rhea at Mania 36 to play out, which I truly believe was the crux point of the death of NXT. Yeah, well, it didn't help.
Well, now they don't even acknowledge that it happened because Charlotte's NXT championship reigns don't count toward her total. Yeah. So you can't let that one play out because it never existed.
That's true. Colin Bartel says, Alex, you aren't too harsh. It's WWE. True. Team Kalex for life. Wait. For life. There you go. That's us. We're going to start spray painting people unconscious. It's Kate, not Kat, says the intelligible one, Cliff Beard.
Thank you. That is correct.
Yeah. Oh man, we are. This is fantastic. We're getting all these random super chats. I love it. Send them in. So we'll talk about that stuff instead of being depressed about NXT. Christian Knight said, "Can't believe AEW happened because of Stardust." LOL. I mean, really, when you trace it back, it basically did. Yeah. I mean, that was the first domino to fall. And now we're toppling skyscrapers, people. That every domino since then has been bigger and bigger, and now we're toppling skyscrapers.
As far as I was concerned, I assumed this whole week here, last night, the rest of Fightful content for the week, I think it's going to be, there's going to be an AEW hangover because of what happened between Daniel Bryan, who was a main roster company guy, and Adam Cole, who was an NXT company guy. Them showing up on AEW, I feel like it's inevitable that that's just going to be this gray storm cloud hanging over the programming for the week, especially when we knew NXT wasn't going to be moving the needle because it was taped, right? And Raw and SmackDown are only rematches ever. So it makes sense that this incredibly dominating pay-per-view from another company that featured talent from the main roster, who main evented WrestleMania this year, and the kind of the golden child of NXT in recent years, you know, showing up over there. I was not surprised that those were the super chats that we were getting off the bat at all.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Shetty Huda says that the TikTok tag team getting whooped post-match made me smile. Me too. And then Joseph Kirai asks how I feel about the Creed brothers now. You mean those two giant walking loaves of wheat of white bread?
Listen, Kojima would be so excited.
I know they're like shoot wrestlers. They're like actual wrestlers. They've got a lot of amateur background. They put them in there with the two jobbiest jobbers that ever jobbed. Like, yeah. My God, those guys were jobby. But I will say, I'm definitely because, you know, it's they're a tag team. They're brothers. They're real life brothers. But you know, it's gonna come a day, because it's WWE, where they're gonna break them up, and it's inevitable. You never know. Could be a couple months from now. Could be years from now. But I think this is my call. This is what I'm saying. I expect that when they finally break them up, it's going to be Brutus who stabs Julius in the back.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
Get it? Because their names are Brutus and Julius.
It's like, it's almost like
it's
being set up to be.
Or they're going to swerve us, and Julius will stab Brutus in the back. What? And he'll go, et tu, Juliet? And then that'll be good. I don't know.
You know what? It's actually going to happen, though. Mm-hmm. None of that will happen, because that makes sense. Some guy named like Fred will come in between them. It's just going to be like, and here's Jason coming in to bust up Brutus.
Fred was better. Fred is a much better thing. Brutus it's and Fred. Julius, it's gonna be Fred. And their long lost brother, Fred. Cyclops is better than Wolverine. Dex smiling because he got John's approval was so great. It really was. That whole segment was amazing. We got a bunch of these. Now I'm fantastic. We got Matt Reichiel saying hi, Team Kalex.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt. Looks like AEW about to have an insane amount of great people / wrestlers. Yeah, I mean, what did you see the Mick Foley comments today? We'll talk about NXT at some
point. We'll get to NXT.
Did you see the Mick Foley comments today?
I sure did, because Fightful Zone's Denise Salcedo was actually in the trend, which made me so happy to see. But he basically, for those of you who didn't see it, said that AEW is now the place you want to go if you're an aspiring talent. And he said some of that is because AEW is knocking it out of the park. And he said a lot of that is because WWE is failing their talent, essentially. And he said they did a lot of great things for me, but that was a different time and place. And for those of you who do follow Mick Foley, you know that's like the harshest thing that guy's ever said. He is the sweetest marshmallow of a man. Like, for him to come out and put those words behind stuff, when Nikki Bella said the same thing about Bianca getting squashed, it felt very similar, of these people who like really are very nice and kind and have wonderful things to say about WWE. And when they spoke up, I was like, whoa. And Mick Foley is right next to Nikki in that regard to me. Like, was very, very surprised and pleasantly that he's trying to keep wrestling in check.
Well, a lot of it was the place it was coming from was not, man, which is not, was not the place that I come from, which is WWE sucks. It's so bad. Everyone should leave there and go somewhere else, even if it's not AEW. What he was coming from was a place of love and worry. Like, I worry for the future of WWE if they don't get something together, because no young talent is going to want to come here when they see what happens. Like, if you watch people like the people that you love on the indies who come to NXT and are great in NXT and get up on the main roster and are barely even used. And if they're used, they have to wear S&M gear. Like,
yeah,
you know, like he specifically mentioned Karrion Kross, who's winning, but it's not, he's winning while looking like an absolute jackass. So it matters. Perception matters. And he's trying to get them to wake up and do something. And of course, I just feel like he's not going to be invited to the cookout in Stamford this year.
Yeah.
I feel like Vince is like, no, goodbye. Get out.
Bye. You're done. Yeah. Cause he's not going to listen.
Yeah. Ryan Sullivan says, have more of my money, Catherine. I worry about the long-term future for MSK. Well, listen, yeah, boy.
Let me tell you something. Ryan doesn't give a shit about MSK. He just wanted this part. That was all he cared about. No, MSK is a fantastic tag team. I weirdly am actually not that worried because I think they'll go to the main roster, and I actually think they are a team that can do well on the main roster. If you watched Impact and watched them as the Rascals, I actually think like them versus I don't have confidence in anybody's booking on the main roster, but I feel like them versus like a Street Profits would be a phenomenal feud. I think they could do really good work up there. I'm a little more worried if they stay in NXT and things stay this stagnant, but they're one of the few that I'm a little less worried for because they're the kind of tag team that I think Vince likes as far as like exciting, can kind of plug into anything. So I'm concerned because I'm just concerned in general, but long-term, I think MSK actually has a bit of a better shot.
I think MSK on the main roster is Lucha House Party without masks.
Oh no. Okay. Now I'm worried.
That's what Vince is going to book. Hey, you guys love to have fun. And then they'll get powerbombed by two big guys. That's the way it's going to work. Nerguru says, I don't know when O'Reilly's contract is up, but how
neither
awesome
do they.
Would it...
Sorry.
They don't know when anybody's contract is up. Last week, I don't know when Al O'Reilly's contract is up, but how awesome would it be if Brian's answer to the Elite is teaming with O'Reilly and Fish? Writes itself. Oh, yeah, it does. And the thing is, you know they'd find a way to do all of the awesome backstory and play into all that history between Cole and O'Reilly and Fish. They play into all what they never have to say the words NXT. They never have to say that or anything. They never verge anywhere near intellectual property, but everybody knows. Everybody knows, and that's all you need.
Yep. And if you didn't, by the way, watch BCE this week, the beginning and the end of it are definitely worth watching. You get Adam Cole's reaction of being in AEW. So if he's that excited to be there and other people are being mishandled, I'm sure they would be happy to join them over there.
Taryn Riddick says that next week's Raquel versus Frankie match feels like it's rushed. Feels like it is rushed and feels like a new champ and a possible call up for Raquel to me. Honestly, I have no idea. Like, all bets are off with this whole new thing. We're talking, there have been rumors that more releases are incoming.
Yeah.
Like, there's the people who've been there for a while and feel like they don't fit into whatever idea that the new NXT is might be like sent to the main roster. Sink or swim. Let's see if you can get yourself over. By the way, it doesn't matter if you can actually get yourself over, because if you got yourself over and we didn't want to, we're going to bury you anyway. Or they could be released. And I don't want that for anybody who doesn't want to be released. But if they do want to be released, vaya con Dios, and we'll see you in the other place.
I would really like to see a third viable option step up. I've been saying that I hope it's Ring of Honor because I feel like they have the most distinct personality. Impact relies so much on outside talent that they don't actually sign and invest in. Like, they'll give championships to people who aren't actually signed. NWA just makes weird booking decisions and keeps start and stopping. And MLW just feels way off track other than one feud right now. So to me, I would love to see people go back to Ring of Honor, especially the caliber of talent that you have at NXT, because AEW can't take 200 people getting released. Like, these people have to go somewhere else. So, I mean, my dream is that Sinclair steps up and we get a viable third alternative, but yeah, I would not be surprised if we got more NXT releases. I wouldn't be surprised if we got more main roster releases, but the Raquel and Frankie feud is definitely hot shotted, which is interesting because they had 3 weeks of taped episodes. There is no excuse to hotshot something in 1 week when you literally had to plan out 3 weeks. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's more of the same handwriting on the wall kind of nonsense that we've been getting.
Yes. Zach Barber says that he's just marveling at the fact that Bruce Pritchard is influencing or controlling all of WWE creative. Well, I mean, those are definitely the reports. Yeah.
They seem accurate. It does feel like his dirty little fingerprints are all over this crap.
Sure does. I appreciate that JJ Lee is calling the Creed brothers white AOP. And they are the whitest AOP. Like, look at them in there. They reflect sunlight. They're so white. Like, man, Sheamus is like, hey, guys. Tone it down. It's a little too white. And I mean, but yeah, they certainly are very impressive. Again, when fighting against the two jobbiest jobbers who ever jobbed a job. Like,
Also didn't love the we throw our opponents into each other move. That was weird.
I mean, yeah,
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I get it. I don't like it.
Right. Agreed. Okay, well, hold on. Okay, here we go. We still got more. I mean, so I'm just going to read all these, and eventually we'll run down what happened. Brutus and Julius, Vince is going to call them up and put them in togas in 6 months.
Oh, no!
It's true.
Yep.
It's true.
Toga.
So true. Yeah, and that'll be the chant that they pipe in to get everybody else to say it.
That's why they look like frat dudes. They're going to have a toga party.
Because Vince thinks Animal House is a hot new comedy.
Oh, God, that's so, yeah.
Valab says that they're like the Steiner brothers. I mean, it remains to be seen if any of them have an ounce of charisma.
Correct.
Like they're big and obviously they're strong and they can do shoot throws of people. Wonderful. I would love to see one of them on the mic say a single word before I start saying that one of them is Scott Steiner. I'm just saying, because I want to see one of them cut a promo about the new math.
I was just going to say, I don't even know if they can do math. Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, listen, giant walking loaves of Wonder Bread, sometimes they develop a little slower than other kinds of bread. Lorenzo Torres says that the Bachelor segment was gold. Yeah. I loved it. I loved it too. My God, there was just so much there that was wonderful. And like you watch and go like, this just feels like they sent all those guys out there with a camera and they came up with the stuff. Like none of that felt like it was like scripted on some guy's laptop and handed to them. So they felt like, so we're doing a laser tag. What should we do? Hey, how about if Dexter chloroforms a guy? Perfect. Let's do that. Like it felt like it was like just guys having a lot of fun.
Do you remember way back when Dean Ambrose was in NXT and they did a chloroform spot?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, why did you have chloroform? And Dean Ambrose goes, why wouldn't I have chloroform? I don't know why that line has stuck out like mm-hmm. 8 years later. But just Dean Ambrose going, why wouldn't I have chloroform? Like, mm-hmm. of course I'd have chloroform.
Yeah.
That's all I could think about during the segment. But yeah, that was my favorite part of the night was the batch party.
Yeah. James Bowrus says that he rarely listens to Cornette, but he made at least an interesting point. How long before WWE runs off even big WWE people like Charlotte? Well, Charlotte certainly has a pull of other people elsewhere that helps her being run off, as they say. But I would be very surprised if by the time they get around to doing the four horsewomen fatal four-way at Mania that they should have done years ago, by the time they get around to actually wanting to do it, one or more of them will be gone.
Yeah.
Just because there will be other offers. And I'll tell you what, I'll bet that Bailey and Sasha, just for two of them, are sitting there watching AEW and wondering, hey, I wonder if they're ever going to let us have another match like Brooklyn here, but I'll bet you they'd let us have another one like Brooklyn there on our first night. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's tough.
You're dialed into like how Bailey and Sasha, especially, I feel like work. Like Sasha grinning like an idiot when she dropped to Bianca was so telling to me. Bailey, all she wants to do is put other people over. They also seem like women that really give a crap about helping the division that's around them, which, by the way, is why FTR left WWE, not because of their own booking, but because of how the tag team division was in general. You are going to drive off your top stars at some point. That just happened with Adam Cole. I know he's the top star on like the third brand. He was the top star on that third brand. So if you keep doing this, if you keep prioritizing the stakeholders over putting on a good product, people are gonna have made enough money. AJ Styles has made enough money to go and do something that's creatively fulfilling. Kevin Owens wouldn't be surprised if he's made enough money to go and have fun and work a couple times a week and go to the zoo with his family all the time like he wants to. Like, it's going to happen at some point if they don't seriously drastically change the way they operate.
Yeah. Agreed. Leonza Duncan says, why are people just now noticing the constant rematches? Foley and Rock fought 20 times from October 98 to March 99. Same with Edge and Christian and the Hardys in 2000. I think it's because the quality of the programming surrounding the rematches is so brutal to watch. And back then, at least everything else was fun. And you got the idea like, okay, so I've seen Edge and Christian versus the Hardys. I'll just use that as an example because that was my shit back in the day. I loved those two tag teams and loved whenever they fought because, yes, I've seen them fought a whole bunch of times, but it felt like the feud had to continue because the writing of the feud in between the matches was so strong. This is just like, hey, remember that match you saw 2 weeks ago? Here it is again with nothing in between to justify it. Like, that's the problem that we have now, I think, personally.
Also, in the Attitude Era, which I was not watching and is actually kind of hard to go back and watch now because whilst it was the most popular, it was not the most timeless wrestling that has ever been done. But I will say, in the Attitude Era too, everybody was feuding with everyone all the time. So it was like, even though you were in a feud with one person and you might have been running that back, you also had all these other interesting things going on at the same time. And on top of that, you might have had that feud get run back 20 times, but not every feud on the card was getting run back 20 times. So yes, there were constant rematches, but not everybody was having constant rematches and it wasn't always lazy. Like, I was not that excited for Bucks versus Lucha Bros again in AEW, but the cage made it really interesting. And then holy shit, the booking ended up being really interesting too. And it was a great match, but I was like, we've seen this before. I got tired on that, but they at least added a stipulation. I was like, well, Phoenix is going to do something insane off the cage. That at least makes me interested right there. So it's not just the constant rematches, though I appreciate your point because I haven't really heard it that much, but it is the way that those get moved forward and the fact that that's the only thing that's happening is rematches.
Yes. Yeah, very much true. So here's the thing. It's a super chat. Got to read it. Kevin Owens' contract is up in January. I'd like to see Kevin Steen in AEW. Stay juicy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
#FTF. Well, I'd like to see Kevin Steen in a place that lets him be Kevin Steen and not feud with Logan Paul. That's all I would like to say about that. Mark Losper says that it's 12:30 p.m. here in Australia, so can't tune in due to work, but had to give some love to #Kalex.
Thanks, Mark. So
we'll catch up later. Keep killing it. We intend to murder all of the things with chloroform and axes. It's either going to be togas or dress them up as Spartans so they can feud with the Vikings, says the intangible one, Cliff Beard. Yes, all of the eras of history must be represented. Yeah.
Yep, Drew is going to lecture you on all of them because he's a history teacher now.
He's basically Scottish Dean Douglas at this point.
They will never take our freedom, except they totally took your freedom by calling you up to the main roster.
Yeah. R26 says, after night, I'm about to forget NXT like AEW forgot Sheeta. I mean, I what I want AEW to do is to do the thing I've been asking for years, which is to have rolling off seasons for talent. If they once a feud is concluded, the loser of that feud is allowed to go, like is encouraged to go and take 6 weeks to rest up, get anything nagging taken care of, go handle some business, go on a vacation with their family, whatever, while somebody else comes in and does something. And then when they come back, we'll be, yay, they're back. And we won't feel like they weren't being utilized right because they're off TV and we will know because we are smart. Oh, this is their rolling off season. I can't wait for them to come back. But in the meantime, I have these other people whose rolling off seasons just ended and they're back now. And I can't wait to see their matches. I feel like AEW could do some of that.
They could. They could do a lot of things differently in the women's division, but that's that's a good start.
Zach Barber asks the burning question, who on SmackDown would Cole have managed? I don't know.
His 24/7 title, baby. That's what I keep saying. Vince looks at him and is like, that guy, 24/7 title.
I think that Commander Aziz would have broken up with Apollo Crews and they would have had Cole talking for Dabba Kato in a friggin' jacket.
God, I'm so glad he's in NXT or in AEW.
The Nerd Guru, I mean, honestly, like that seems to be, there's not a lot of guys on SmackDown that need a manager per se. The Nerd Guru says, in the vein of top stars leaving, I'd love Becky Lynch versus Britt Baker. That one seems the furthest off to me. Of the four horsewomen, Becky seems the furthest away from leaving WWE. I would love to Becky Lynch versus Britt Baker. Are you kidding me?
Yes,
And Sasha versus Rosa are my favorite WWE AEW women's crossover matches. Oh my god,
I wouldn't hate it. I don't know, man. Sasha's an interesting one because she's always very appreciative of the opportunity she gets. She's constantly tweeting like, "Thank you, Vince." Like tons of gratitude, but there's currently no creative plans for her.
Right.
So, you know, it's a battle of, has the goodwill that WWE built up with these people, are they going to deal with the current circumstances for how long? Yeah. Like, are they willing to wait that out? And what do their contracts say? Because.
Right. Yeah. Like two more super chats, and then we're actually going to talk about NXT because we are over 30 minutes into this episode. Mr. Cake says that the Creed brothers need to work on that walk to the ring. It's all in the walk. Listen, like only a few weeks ago, they were just regular, like on the shelf at the supermarket, loaves of white bread, and then a fairy godmother cast a spell over them, and then they're giant and they can walk. It takes a while to learn how to walk. Have you ever seen like a baby foal, like fresh from its mother's womb? It's all wobbling all over the place. It's basically like the same thing.
I figured it out. Brothers.
Yeah,
a stable with them and Kojima called Get This Bread. Boom. Sorry, Diamond Mind. Gone.
Yeah.
Kojima will love them because he loves bread. They are bread.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, we're going to get this bread. They're going to make some money. That's I do good. Have an issue, though, and in a sincere way. There's not an ounce of me that believes that Malcolm Bivens would be like, these are the guys that I'm going to curate. And Malcolm Bivens can sell me on anything.
You know what's the cruelest cut is back before the world ended, and they were still doing NXT house show loops. This might be even 2-3 years ago. But the guy that Bivens was managing when they would go to like Largo or whatever was Omos. He wasn't called that at the time, but can you imagine now with what they've done with Omos on the main roster and how they obviously see him, if he had Bivens walking out there and cutting Heyman type promos for him, so Omos never had to open his damn mouth, and it was just the biggest, blackest man you've ever seen, and Malcolm Bivens cutting promos for him.
I don't know if people have
on that so much.
He seems to be very over Malcolm Bivens, as he should be. He was amazing as Stokely Hathaway on the Indies too.
Yeah.
He is extremely good at this, extremely. Good. And it breaks my heart that they just keep derailing whatever he's managing. Cause he's absolutely, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Intangible One Cliff Beard says, wait, an even better idea. Team Drew with Sheamus and make it a triple threat. Spartans versus Vikings versus Celts / Scots / is there a Saxon? Can we get a Saxon in there? All the like the north of England, all those people there, running around with big swords and wearing skirts, all that stuff. Okay, so NXT happened. We started out with Ember Moon versus Kaylee Ray, which was what I expected it to be.
Sure.
Kaylee Ray is brutal. Ember Moon is fantastic at selling from underneath. She had a whole bunch of great hope spots, and Kaylee Ray beat her. I thought it was a good match. I don't think they were reinventing the wheel. This is a good match for Kaylee Ray to have her first match on NXT proper. Ember Moon made her look like $1 million. Ember Moon looked good too in defeat because, you know, I thought that like she had a lot of really great hope spots, but they were working the shoulder a lot. So she had something to overcome, something specific. Then later in the night, we got an interview with Ember Moon, who's like, I'm just tired. Like, I mean, I love that she has said, I lost the tag team titles. Then I lost my tag partner. Like they really never went into that. Like that was a thing that they never really brought up. Either on SmackDown or in NXT, and I'm really glad Ember said, like, they stole my tag partner from me right after we lost the damn belts. So, yeah, I've been feeling down lately. And she says, now I know what I've got to do to change things around here. I'm like, are we getting an Ember Moon heel turn? Is she, like, embracing her inner werewolf? What's going on here?
Yeah, so I'll say what you just said about this match was, like, kind of how I felt about basically this entire episode, where we saw some really great in-ring work that just feels very inconsequential overall and a little predictable because we know what's coming. I loved, she had a really, really great crossface sequence in there. Some really good like groundwork, which I thought was refreshing to see out of this women's division. And I absolutely loved what she said after, because there were a couple of times in this episode actually where they acknowledged like things that were in the real world a little bit. We saw it at the end a little bit too. And I like that. I'm nervous that that means she's going to either go to the main roster or they're going to have some insane type of main rostery character development because of the way things are turning. But she's great. She was, you know, injured and bounced around. She was on the main roster for like a minute and came back down. I hope she's not someone that gets lost in the mix.
That's the thing.
But I mean, over this entire episode, that's all I could think about was like, okay, and now what? Like, what does this mean for this person? And there's just no answers right now. So that was kind of the beginning of this for me, was like, okay, that was a great match. Ember's talking about a change, but like, what does that mean right now?
Yeah. The thing about it is that she wasn't up there for a minute. She was up there for like a year and a half, 2 years, and they did nothing with her. So little, in fact, that the reason that she nearly had to retire from an injury was because she was chasing the 24/7 champion and slipped in some water backstage and ruptured her Achilles so bad that she thought she was going to have to retire. So it's a miracle she's even back. She's doing as well as she is. If you were to tell me you can pick one female on all the rosters to go to AEW, my pick would be Ember Moon. I know she's so good, and they'll never let her be as good as she is. They'll never let her be as good as she is here. She's the one. I feel like I would love to see Bayley and Sasha over there, but they're gonna be fine in WWE. Yeah. Ember in NXT, they've shown they don't have the willingness to really do with her what she deserves, and definitely not on a Vince brand show on the main roster. So that's the one that I want so badly for her to be able to go somewhere, wherever it is that they let her just take the chains off and be Athena.
Yeah. I mean, she's definitely on my short list. I think maybe Naomi tops it right now just because this has been going on even longer with her. But yeah, I mean, underutilized is an understatement, I think, at this point. But match was good enough. Promo was great. Weary about what's coming down the pike.
Yes. Another super chat real quick before I lose it. Brian from Dallas says, being able to hear Kate laugh and wrestling opinion and her wrestling opinion rules, she will know what I mean.
Oh, so Brian, thank you for super chatting. He DM'd me today before people got weird. I appreciate it. He DM'd me and said that he had an implant put in, and it's been the first time in 35 years that he's able to hear, which is just like so heartwarming, A, that awesome. You would share that with us, and B, that one of the first things that you're hearing is my absolute silliness and our wrestling opinions. I appreciate you tuning in so much and for super chatting us.
That is awesome, Brian. Congratulations.
Team Kalex.
And yeah, Team Kalex is now Team Bri. I don't know how to do that. I'm not add Brian.
Kalex.
Yeah. Kalex Bri.
We're going to get there, Brian.
We'll figure it out. But you're an honorary member of Team Kalex.
Yes.
It was a backstage thing with Pete and Oni and Danny and Ridge, whatever. Cocky wasn't there. I was very disappointed in no Cocky, but I don't know. Maybe it's during his rolling off season, and he'll be back in a few weeks after he gets a little arthroscopic surgery done. So this is the, let's talk about both segments. I will say that there was a bachelorette party and a bachelor party, and one of them was the highlight of the night, and the other one was not. And I don't want it to seem like I'm saying the boys were awesome and the girls weren't. I'm saying it seemed like the boys had more reign to do whatever they wanted, and the girls all had to sit around a table and maybe crack a few jokes to varying degrees of success.
Here and you
I
go.
Feel like just Alex let the girls sexist. Be girls.
That's true. That was not
thank you. I appreciate you being statement. Here to let me off the hook. I appreciate
That's one was real bad, one was great. And that has nothing to do with gender. It has everything to do with the way the segments were executed. That's not how bachelorette parties go, first of all. And second of all, I mean, you're not going to beat that bachelor party, I don't think, in general. That was so entertaining. But yeah, this bachelorette, I'm in the middle of planning a bachelorette, damn it. That's not what we do.
Yeah.
It was stupid.
I did appreciate whoever the heck that was Indy's like childhood friend, who she flew all the way from Australia to be here. And somebody turns around, you flew all the way from here to be here? No, I came for Disney World. Like, I thought that, that was a good line. That was the best line of this whole thing. I thought was good. What wasn't good was that they're really honestly pushing this whole Casey and Caden or the TikTok tag team thing. They were actually doing TikTok, I was going to say a TikTok dance, but this is what they were doing at the table. And that's a TikTok dance, apparently, that you do at the table. And I know they're trying to make Candace into the mom character, but her saying, "Will you guys stop flip-flopping?" That's not what the mom would say. I feel like it wouldn't be that, like, tic-tacking. Tic-tacking, I think, is what it is. It's TikTok.
Tic-tacking.
Mom. You know?
Who also just wouldn't say that at a bachelorette party.
Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't. Because there's a bachelorette party. But maybe Candace is such a mom that she's the one who put the whole thing together, that she wouldn't do it at, like, you know, a Chippendales club. She would do it at, like at noon on a Tuesday in the weirdest, like, Italian restaurant in Orlando. And, like, we've got the whole place to ourselves. And don't fill up on bread, you know, like, kind of a thing. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, don't fill up on bread. We got to save that for the diamond mine.
Yeah. The Nerd Guru says that I bet Vince sees Indy as an Eva project. Drop do. Because, you know, everything's backwards in Australia. So that was. And then basically Candace convinces Indy to go spy on Dexter and Johnny at the bachelor party. And then the bachelor party happens later on tonight. We're going to talk about it now. It's awesome. It's just Johnny and Dexter in the limo. And then Cameron Grimes sticks his head in. He's like, "Hey, I'm crowning myself king of the bachelor party. Would you go and take this party to the moon?" And I'm spinning. I'm popping for all the stuff. Because Johnny's like, "I'm not spending a dime on this." And Cameron Grimes is like, I'll spend a dime. I'll spend a grime. And I love it.
Oh, my goodness. Cameron Grimes rules. I want him to play at my bachelorette party. That's where my DMs got weird and I closed them. he's the absolute, absolute best. I would want, in kayfabe, Cameron Grimes to be the one to play at my bachelor party, right? That makes so much sense. He's got the money. He's so much fun. Like, I loved that he was so naturally just, like, kind of slid into that angle. And I also loved Gargano being like, "I'm not paying for this because I don't support it." Like, that whole opening scene to that before we even got into the silliness of chloroform laser tag was just phenomenal.
And the guest list for the bachelor party being Cameron Grimes, Odyssey Jones, Drake Maverick. The last thing he ever did for NXT probably was this, because he showed up. They filmed this on Sunday and he showed up on Raw as part of the 24/7 division in a big return to answer the big reveal of Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole and Minoru Suzuki and Ruby Soho. Vince is like, "Drake Maverick." And so we got him on Raw. And so I think he's not on NXT anymore, which, by the way, RIP, that amazing tag team of Drake Maverick and Grayson Waller. We're never going to see if they were ever able to coexist.
I guess they weren't. That's what happened. He was like, "We can't coexist. I'm going to the main roster."
But anyway, so all those guys and the zombie ref. Like, the fact that they did a callback of the zombie ref from October of last year. Like, almost a full year ago. Like, I love that they did the callback. I love that we found out the ref zombie wasn't actually a zombie. In fact, he's actually from Canada. I thought that was really great. All of it. Few highlights. Odyssey Jones can fit into a go-kart, which gives me hope. Because I was thinking, I mean, us big guys, I want to take, when my daughter gets a little older, I want to take her on, you know, the go-kart thing. I'm like, they don't make them dad size. Sorry, sweetheart, I can't go. But apparently they do, because I'm not as big as Odyssey Jones, and he was in one, so excellent.
There you go.
Then the trampoline park, which was Odyssey Jones jumping and sending Drake Maverick shooting into the air, and then axe throwing. Does anybody here have any experience with axes? And it pans over slowly to Dexter Lumis, who slowly raises his hand. And I was like, thank you for acknowledging he's a serial killer. We all know it, but it's the first time you've ever said it, and I thank you for it. And then he teaches Johnny how to throw an axe, like eat your heart out, Viking Raiders.
Because
Dexter Lumis definitely knows how to throw an axe.
Yeah.
At like a jogger from 70 yards away, just a moving target across the park. And I thought this was all great. And then the laser tag, of course, which was the best, chloroforming the guy and Johnny showing up and shooting the dude in the chest with the little laser tag target thing to make it official was beautiful. And then they finally got a chance to do the little high five. I thought it was great.
I so appreciate that the only time Johnny Gargano has ever liked Dexter Lumis was when he was murdering people or attempting to murder them, because in my head, that means Johnny Gargano wants to win that much. Yeah. It's so important for him to win. He's so competitive that you can just go around chloroforming people, but he needs to win laser tag that bad. That's how I read that segment, and I love that. I think that's such a perfect, perfect nuance. We have a super chat here from Norm Summers saying, apologizing for breaking the paywall earlier. Subscribe to Fightful Select. Some of that was not paywalled. The lead into that wasn't. The details were. So you might not be as bad off as you thought, but didn't have time to watch NXT. Relying on you two, any highlights you should focus on? This is it. That's why I pulled this up right now. I feel like this is by far the best part of it.
The bachelor party. Yeah. I mean, the matches were fine. There were no titles changed hands. The only thing that like of consequence that happened that we'll talk about is a post-match attack on two post-match attacks. Let's say that. And that's about it. Only thing of consequence. The intangible one, Cliff Beard, says that he's calling it now. Austin Theory is going to be the one to ruin the wedding. And dear God, I hope he does it where he says he's carrying Indy's child or something silly. Oh, wow. But that would be incest, because aren't they brother and sister? I don't. Although, if Vince is in control of NXT, he always wanted to do an incest story with himself and his own daughter. So, I mean, maybe he finally gets to do his incest story, but instead it's brother and sister.
I know he wants to ruin NXT, but that's too much too soon, isn't it? That's such a big joke.
On the first night, Kate, we're getting an incest story. On night one.
In some ways, that's better. And so just rip the Band-Aid off.
The Band-Aid right off.
Get it done.
Don't do a slow burn of the incest story.
No.
Start it off right in the first segment.
Boom.
Yeah. Asian Joe says, are we sure the bachelor party wasn't at Olive Garden? So it was essentially a fancy date. No, it's true.
It could have been.
I think it was called Frescoes was the signage I saw.
I would do my flip-flop dances in Olive Garden if I got some free breadsticks.
Hey, look, Mom, I'm tic-tacking.
Oh, boy.
So we Carmelo Hayes and Santos Escobar had a fracas, a kerfuffle last week that we didn't talk about because there were no super chats about it. So Santos basically threatened Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo's like, I don't know. Should I go for the top title that gets me a top? I don't know. Am I going to use my Money in the Bank briefcase to cash in on the one half of the tag titles? Like, what? Just say you're going to challenge Samoa Joe and do it on an episode of NXT and lose and have a great match. I mean, I don't know what we're doing there, but I don't know. So then we had the match that came out of the kerfuffle, because all kerfuffles lead to matches, and it was good. It was a really good match. Like, I really love Carmelo Hayes and I love Santos Escobar. And are we sure that Vince and Bruce aren't already, like, in charge of the booking? Because the end of this match, like, I always say, if you feel like both guys have to be so protected that you can't just have a clean finish, then you don't get to book the match. Like, that's my own thing. If that's your thing, we can't afford to have either of these guys lose clean, then you don't get to book the match. That's just my own personal rule. Was it impressive to see Electra Lopez take off her Carmen Sandiego cosplay and body slam Carmelo Hayes? Yes. Should it have immediately lost, ended up with him losing a match he might have won? Otherwise, no. Can we not do distractions and refs being really, hey, you, I'm going to look over here. There's something going on over there. I'm going to take at least 25 seconds to deal with this thing over here that should take any normal human being 3 seconds to deal with. So this thing, I hate that. It happened all the time on the main roster. It didn't used to happen on NXT at all. Then it started creeping in, and now it's like a weekly occurrence, and I don't like it.
Referees are the dumbest people in the world, unfortunately. I'm with you, and the frustrating thing is, to me, it was a really strong match otherwise. A really strong match. I hate that Carmelo didn't just go to the top for a title. I tweeted about it. We didn't talk about it last week. But, like, he's been, like kind of cocky. He called himself an overdog. That's how much of not an underdog he is. I do appreciate in last week's segment that he did kind of react like, oh, well, this over here just got personal all of a sudden. So, like, they tried. But I don't like that. I don't think his character would do that. This match was awesome and had a lot of really great spots. The distraction finishes suck. Like, they're the worst. And it did feel very main rostery. Her doing the actual body slam was real cool. That was awesome. That's how we do in Jersey. She's from my neck of the woods. All right. That's how women in Jersey are. We can body slam you. So I liked the spot. I didn't like how the spot fit in the context of the match and that it affected the outcome of the match at all. That's really annoying to me.
Yeah. I mean, they protected Carmelo because they kind of had to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, then, like, well, why is he going after a top title? I mean, like, he's got a guaranteed shot, but does he still deserve it since he lost clean? Like, if he had lost clean. And yet you kind of have to protect Santos because he's the next challenger for the North American title, which means to me, like, don't book the match. Don't book the match. I will say I really did enjoy the promo they had with Hit Row later, where B-Fab declared war on Carmen Sandiego. Like, I thought that was great. That was awesome. I love Hit Row. Like, they are the number one act on NXT that Vince has to keep his grubby little paws off of, because you know he has no idea what the hell an authentic version of that is. He's going to turn them into Crime Time. And it's going to be so terrible, but I do love that they said, "What, you just went out and got yourself your own girl? Like, you just go out and grab one like off the street? What are you doing?" And I appreciate that they were like, "That's not allowed. You can't just do that."
They are absolutely the best thing going in NXT, in my opinion, and they are the first thing that Vince is going to ruin. Like, just, I was like, this is the greatest, coolest, most organic, most, like, feels like Black culture, but not in the usual way that WWE forces Black culture on people thing that is going to just get destroyed as soon as Vince goes anywhere near it.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah. Joy Bag of Donuts says that KLX TikTok or Tic Tac coordinated dances need to be a thing.
We already did one.
Yeah, like, this is as coordinated as I get. This is it.
That's what they did at the bachelorette party.
If that's TikToking, then consider me a TikToker.
You and me, buddy?
Yeah.
We're a TikTok tag team now. We'll have a Texas Tornado TikTok tag team match.
With them. A TikToksis. A Tixis Toxis tornado match.
Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah.
We just said it, but now they're gonna go do it.
Yeah, they're gonna do it. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Boy. The interview Regal says Samoan Joseph is, of course, a fighting champion, as he's always been. So next week, we're going to find out who's going to be his first opponent. We're going to have Tommaso Ciampa and Kyle O'Reilly and Lawrence Aloysius Knight and Peter Dune. And they're all going to fight each other in a fatal four-way to who's going to be the top contender to Mr. Samoa Joe. Thank you very much and good night. And I'm fine with this. It does seem to me like the best option out of that is Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a one-off and the guy who has it loses. And I love Tommaso Ciampa, but I don't think they're going to give him the title back. I want desperately for it to happen, but I don't think they're going to give him the title back. The worst possible option is Knight, and that's the one I fear that they're going to do. And I feel like it's just, you know... I desperately want to see Samoa Joe versus Ciampa and Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne. I don't need to see Samoa Joe versus Knight. I just don't. I wouldn't mind the promos leading up to the match, but the match itself is going to be, you know, main rostery. Like if NXT, let the guys who are still in NXT, as long as they're there, at least wrestle hard and good, you know?
What if the promos are great, and then Samoa Joe just kind of kicks the shit out of him.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay,
like that could be really fun.
I'll allow it. That would be fun. That would be
your Regal has like this notes of Stewie Griffin under it, and I love it.
Listen, my Walter is Arnold Schwarzenegger, so don't start nitpicking my.
No, I thought that sounded just like him.
Don't start picking nits, Kate.
It felt like an homage. I'm not mad about it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Okay. So anyway, we get Brutus and Julius, no sign of Fred, the Creed brothers versus Paxton Averill and Chucky Viola, who I swear they just pulled names out of a hat. Cause these, I'll say it again, the two jobbiest jobbers that ever jobbed a job, and they got murdered. As well they should, and that's it. I don't want to say about this. It was a big old squash.
Big old squash. That ending move where they're both in the ring and they just run them into each other is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Well,
I hate it.
The super collider was a thing, AOP, and that's why I think they called them a big white AOP. Yeah,
it was cooler when they did it.
Yeah, I'm going to call him COP, and not cop, but Caucasians of Pain. That's what I'm going to call them, Caucasians of Pain. And Caucasians of Pain, they're there, and they're listen. It is what it is. I did appreciate. I think it was Julius who did the big body slam. And then the guy was like, kind of sitting up in pain. And he was like, why are you sitting up? And then he just does a clothesline from hell to a seated person. I was like, I think that guy's the good one. I mean, I feel like he's taller, so is up Vince's alley. The other one was like undefeated in NCAA, and that's fine. But I feel like I was watching, was like, I like Julius. Maybe because I know he's going to be the babyface, because again, his name is Julius and the other guy's name is Brutus.
So, and we have yet to see Fred.
We have yet to see Fred.
But
we know he's out there somewhere.
But like they made Gable Shorty G. You know what I mean? Like just because they're like good athletic wrestlers, they've never done anything for Dolph Ziggler. He was a fantastic NCAA wrestler.
Well, the thing about Mr. G is that he's short. And were he not short, they wouldn't have been able to call him that. And I feel like they also would have utilized him better. I feel like if Chad Gable was 6'3", he'd be a multi-time world champion. And that's just the way that Vince looks at things. Like you can't be a champion. You're short.
But
you can be an underdog. But Daniel Bryan, that was never the point. That was never the point of him. Like, look at all the stuff they had him do before the people took over. Like, they had him like doing like little dances with hot chicks in the ring. Like, it was like, yeah, like that. Just like
he
that.
He married one of those hot chicks, darn it.
He did. It all worked out well for him and the hot chick. But and it all worked out well in the end for Mr. Daniel Bryanson. Because he is going to be kicking the head off of people.
American-iel
Dragonson. Yes, obviously. EO and Zoe, they don't like each other. Their tag team name should be Can They Coexist? Yeah. Like, I don't, what is the deal? Like, why did they team to begin with? Like, it was just a thing. And like, they said, these two, they may not like each other, but they have fantastic chemistry in the ring. Do they? Because I'm pretty sure it was like their second match ever that they won the titles in. And they haven't defended them since. So do they have great chemistry? Do we know that for a fact? I don't know. I love both of them. I hate that the whole thing around them is like, we don't like each other. Like, is that all you got? Like, you couldn't find a way, like, couldn't find a, I don't know.
Yeah, Alex, because if they're not best friends, they may not be able to coexist. This is like, Io Shirai was white hot and so over and still real popular when she dropped her title. And I just can't think of a better way to just ruin someone than to have two people who don't like each other. We don't really know why they don't like each other. They just don't. They had a weird lunch or whatever, but there's no reason they don't like each other.
Io said, I don't like you before the lunch. Like, before they had their championship match, it was like, I don't like you, but we're going to be champions. And Zoe's like, well, okay, fine. As long as we win, I don't mind. But then they never did anything beyond that. That was the one note they played the entire time. I think I was so excited when they gave these two women the titles because I love both of them. And I thought, great. What a great way to keep these two on TV and working constantly in great matches, because if you put the titles on them, surely you're not going to bury them on the bench.
But apparently they did.
You're forgetting that more important than the women's tag titles is TikTok.
Yeah, it's true. So the TikTokers, the TikTakers, the flip-floppers, they lost. Good. I don't like them. I'm glad about that, but now what? But literally now what? Who are the other tag teams? It's because I guess we now know the other tag team, the one other tag team is the Mandy Rose Project. Yeah. She comes out wearing it's an artistic like face shield. Like, it's all weird and asymmetrical. And like, part of it is like pointy. It's really weird. They absolutely did a scene where she was like operated on by a back alley doctor, and he was like, I'm sorry, Miss Rose, the nerves were completely severed, and we didn't get to see it. They filmed it, it was on the cutting room floor, upset about it. But now she's there, and she's got Gigi Dolan and JC Jane, and they beat the crap out of the Tic Tacers, and I guess they're throwing their hat in the ring. If they win, are they going to free bird the titles?
So, I don't have words because there's not a division, and it's like the Cody Rhodes mask, but they threw it in the dryer. I don't know what happened here. It was like they were like, hey, did a high school theater project recently do Phantom? Let's go borrow their mask. I love Gigi Dolan, and I think this angle is fine, but you're right. Like, what do we do? There's not a division. There's three teams, right? Unless I'm forgetting someone, but I think there's three teams.
I mean, technically, I suppose Frankie and Jesse Kamea are a tag team.
But Frankie's getting an
Frankie's got a singles title shot.
Casey, so you have tag champs that don't like each other, two people that are kind of just shoved together because of a social media platform, and then this is the most cohesive thing, and it started like 10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way Gigi Dolin works. I really like it. I think she's a great storyteller. I think she's really good in the ring. I'm by her as a tag team wrestler yet, because some of the stuff we saw last week and the week before, like where she just wasn't breaking up pins or whatever. If they win, they will have to have a rematch because it's WWE. And because there's nobody else to face.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I don't get the point of, it's like if I, like, why do you have belts for a division you don't have?
Yeah. That's weird. You know, and I was just thinking about it because I mean, there's also just like this, the stupidity of, hey, let's put the tag straps on these two women in their second match ever, and their entire story is they don't get along. And that's it. That's literally the entire story. Meanwhile, we have these two women who've been tagging together for literally years. Like Casey and Kaden have been tagging together on NXT for years. And they're never getting a fair shake at a title because they don't really have a character. What's their character now? Oh, they're Tic Tacers. That's what their character is. And meanwhile, Candice is pregnant, so that tag team had to break up. We pulled Shotzi to the main roster so she and her new tag partner, Tegan, could beat the champs in three non-title matches and never get a title match. So then we abandoned Ember down there to do nothing. Like, there's a lot of cool things you could do. Like, what happened to Zeta Ramir? She had that amazing match where she won against Toni Storm. Is she hurt? She might be. A lot of times they'll get hurt with something at the PC and they won't talk about it, whatever. It's possible. If she's healthy, could maybe you find her somebody to team up with? Or here's another thing.
Ember? Like,
Ember and Zeta Ramiro would be a great tag team. They'd be a lot of fun together. We know they love to pair people of the same race. It's a big thing for them. They love it.
Perfect.
So to that end, before Sarai got beat the hell up by Gigi Dolin and JC Jane, like, her and Io could be an odd couple tag team because Sarai is so bubbly and so happy about everything, and Io is very dark and brooding. And they could have the same story, but you would believe that the reason they don't, like, love each other isn't simply because Io doesn't trust white people. Because there appears to be no other reason for it, because she immediately hated Zoe Stark for no reason. And I don't get it.
I will say last week, she basically said that she hates everyone. So that's, I actually true, kind of liked
that's
that.
True. She's
that
just a misanthrope. Like, she's just a misanthrope. I hate everybody. Fine.
Yeah.
Good. Great.
Well, I liked that.
Yeah, but at least they wouldn't have to do a stupid segment where Sarai and Io have to go to a Japanese restaurant and Sarai has to throw squid against the wall. At least they wouldn't do that.
Yeah. We have a super chat saying Mandy Rose is channeling her inner manager Trish Stratus from TNA days. Look, there's worse people you can be, A, compared to looks-wise, and B, compared to ring-wise, than Trish Stratus. It does feel very much in that vein. I don't know. I think Dana Brooke must be injured or pregnant or out just because she's getting married or whatever, because that was all very abrupt. But yeah, I hear and understand the comparison there, and I don't hate it.
Yeah, it's being reported that Vince Russo is working with WWE on a project. Could it be the new and colorful NXT?
Barf.
No. Russo sucks, but Team Kalex rules! Thank you so much.
Yeah, we do.
Marco has you checkmated, Kate. That move where they smash two dudes into each other. What if Brutus and Julius call it the Ides of March? I love it.
Okay, yeah. But like, you're thinking in that context, I'm thinking, where does Fred fit into this? So Fred. On the surface, it looks good, but
when they become NXT's answer to the New Day, And it's just the three of them, and they hold the belts forever and Freebird them forever. It's so true.
Freebird.
Yeah. Christian Mallet says, the regal impression because we have a time. Love you, Kalex. Yeah. We love you, too. Mark Losper says, the Caucasians of Pain was the man's bachelor party. Dragonson was the woman's.
I'm so glad I can go. I'm going to timestamp that 1:12:56 because that's what I'm going to call him now.
Yeah.
American
Dragonson. Okay. So we get a backstage promo from Kyle O'Reilly, who's just like, hey, this is just me now, Kyle. And a lot of things have happened without naming any names. I closed one chapter of my life and now maybe another one opens. And I thought it was good that they handled it and they're moving on. Obviously you have to. And it was, I loved the Adam Cole, like, in his interview, like the scrum afterwards, like it was very, very important to me that I have that last match. Like that was the most important thing to me because Kyle is one of my best friends in the world. And so we had to have that match. And that's awesome. And he literally was like, I'm out after that. And as he should have, but I thought that was good that Kyle dealt with it. We get another, we get a promo of LA Knight, riding around in his car, talking about, and I think that Lawrence Aloysius is a fantastic promo. I really do. I've always thought that. I think that he's really, really, really talented. He just feels like a guy who should just show up day one on the main roster because that's the kind of guy he is.
Yep.
He's perfectly ready for that. And NXT still, I know I'm going to have to get over this, but still feels to me like a giant indie fed. And what the hell is this dude doing in my giant indie fed? And it's not a giant indie fed anymore. So he can be here if he wants. It's the same thing. Same reason I didn't love Bobby Roode in NXT. Cause he felt like, no, this guy's got main roster stink all over him. Like he's really great at what he does, but he doesn't fit in here at all. And it's the same thing with Lawrence Aloysius.
I actually feel that way about Frankie Monet too. I felt like she could have gone right to the main roster. I'm kind of glad they didn't, so she could be herself and not John Morrison's girlfriend, or wifey. I think they're booed up. But yeah, there's some people that I don't feel like need to go to NXT before they go to the main roster. But there's no saying what the rhyme or reason to the landscape is right now. There might also be things. I mean, he was Eli Drake before that, but there might be things like, hey, we want you to get TV experience before you go up there or whatever. Like, who knows what justifications they have or don't have for doing things like that. Right. But I'm with you. He does feel like he fits in more on the main roster and like in a good way where I think he could be like somebody a little more grounded on the main roster. Yeah. But I don't know. I really like LA Knight. I know a lot of people are not into him, but I like this with him. I think he did really great things with the Grimes feud. And
oh,
I'll
yeah.
take him versus Joe.
Oh, he had good, great things with the Grimes feud. He also lost the Grimes feud. And to me, I guess he did beat Johnny Gargano. So I guess that got him the ticket into this fatal four-way. But I feel like he should have had to like get a few more wins under his belt before he was like,
very
like,
fair.
Why isn't Cameron Grimes in the fatal four-way? Didn't he win that feud? Like, couldn't he be in it? Like, I'd love to see him in the match. I don't know if the people would go insane for like the people in that crowd would go insane for a Cameron Grimes versus Samoa Joe feud with all the hope spots and stuff. It would be a lot of fun. I don't know. I mean, I think that LA Knight, Lawrence Aloysius, he does an amazing job. He's very, very good at what he does. It's a matter of taste that what he does isn't for me specifically. That's all.
That's very fair. But you clearly don't understand the stresses of planning a bachelor party anymore if you think that you can just jump into a fatal four-way after planning the chloroform laser tag bachelor party of a lifetime, Alex.
Yes, true. Yeah, and we also saw Tommaso Ciampa do a promo about it, where he talked about like Pete Dunne, I'm gonna take you out because you think I don't know you're the head of the snake. We saw by the end of the night that he was the head of the snake. Also, it's been a long time. Rule number two is Goldie. And then he left, and I was like, oh, that was so beautiful. It was just simple enough. It was like a love letter to everybody who's been watching for 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's, yeah, you mentioned it. You didn't have to, like, go into it. Goldie, you see, that's what I used to call the title when I used to hold it. No. Just say it and move on. And anybody who's confused can friggin' Google it.
And, like, so I'm a big fan of, like, in non-wrestling, Aaron Sorkin's writing, because he assumes I'm not an idiot. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people could understand when someone's talking about Goldie, that might mean the gold thing that people wear around their waist when they win a title. Like, I like it when people assume that I have a brain in my head a little bit. I don't need everything telegraphed to me.
Perhaps, and I don't know, this might be the case in, like, maybe it was like in the first draft of the script. Maybe Goldie is his pet goldfish that he lost and he needs to get it back. And the only way his pet goldfish will come back to him is if he's the champion.
Vince would love that.
It's true. He would. So then we see Frankie Monet backstage. He just doesn't want to go to the wedding that she's been invited to. Robert Stone rushes in and he's out of breath for some reason. He's very out of breath. And so Frankie gets a title match versus Raquel Gonzalez, and Frankie's very excited. I am too. I think it'll be a really fun match. And honestly, don't know what to expect, because they could decide we want one of them up on the main roster next week, and either one of them would be perfectly believable to me. So, yeah. You know, that's they're trying to load up the first Rainbow NXT with stuff. You know, they got the Fatal 4-Way number one contenders match. They got the wedding. They have a women's title match. They're loading it up with stuff so that we will tune in, you know, and see the rainbow. Yeah. Taste the rainbow.
I don't want to. I want old NXT back. I want black and gold. I'm a Steelers fan, damn it.
I want them to start. I want them to get it sponsored. And I want them. They used to call it. They said it tonight. The black and gold brand. What are they going to call it next week? I want them to actually get sponsorship, and I want them to refer it to as the Skittles brand.
Yep. And they'll do a TikTok Skittles
match. I love Skittles.
You and Marshawn Lynch, both. Yes. Marshawn Lynch can come and do like a hosting appearance. Yeah. It's perfect.
Guest hosts for NXT is the beginning of the end.
Yo, I would pay money to see Marshawn Lynch in NXT.
Yeah.
Because that dude would just be like, what am I doing here? It would be fantastic. Are you kidding?
Yeah, that would be fun. If it was Marshawn Lynch, it would be fun. It'd probably be Logan Paul. We get our first ever Mei Ying match. She murders a woman named Virginia Ferry. She doesn't blow metal in her lungs, which I was upset about. She does do the Tongan death grip. That's her finisher. That's fine. A very impressive performance by Mei Ying, but she's rather short, and at 5,000 years old, she's definitely over 30. So according to that edict that was going around a little while ago, I worry she might be in the next round of cuts.
Yeah. I gotta say, for 5,000, she moves real well. Like, she can really, considering she's 5,000 years old.
She does. They are just not going to talk about what the hell ever happened to Xia Li. They're just never going to mention it. Like, she was the whole reason this frigging thing existed, was like to get her over, and she's gone now, and didn't happen. She wasn't there. Like, little flashy thing from Men in Black, and just forget about it.
Yep.
Yeah. Boy. The Nerd Guru says, if Kate is a Steelers fan, why doesn't she like the TikTok tag team? Because I'm pretty sure Juju would be a big fan.
Juju does better, more coordinated dances on opposing teams' logos, and then gets yelled at him when the Steelers lose a bunch, which is going to happen a lot this season, I think. Damn it.
Because you have the Creed brothers, they actually have an older brother who is also a walking loaf of white bread, who is Ben Roethlisberger. He's their much older brother. and Kid Phantom V3 says New Day actually had a Skittles commercial ad, so it's possible. Like, just do it. Call NXT sponsored by Skittles. Taste the rainbow, fight the rainbow, NXT.
NXT by Skittles.
Yeah.
Like NXT X Skittles.
Yeah. NX Skittles. NX Skittles T? I don't know how to do that one.
They don't all come as naturally as Kalex, you know what I mean?
No, it doesn't work out really well. Oney Lorcan versus Danny Burch versus MSK is a fine title match. MSK won.
And they're over.
And they're over. People like them now. Good. And
that's it.
Yeah.
It was a really good match.
I don't know what, like, it's the last match of this era of NXT, and who knows what the hell happens next week. And this is where we're at. I'm glad that the MSK is over now.
Me too.
After the match, MSK wins and they leave. Danny got pinned. It's his first match back from being hurt. Pete helps him to his feet, looks over at Ridge, and gives him a nod. And then Ridge does one of his terrible headbutts to him. And then Oney is like, "What are you doing?" And they beat up Oney and they beat up Dan and they beat the hell out of him. And I just love, I fought so hard. I love Pete Dunne. And I'm pretty sure he could murder me with his bare hands. But him and the little, like, the loafers with no socks trying to do a little stomp a mud hole in somebody where he's wearing his capri pants with his loafers with no socks, it just doesn't have the same weight to it, literally. Like, a pair of wrestling boots would really feel like it would actually, yeah, get a good... There's no sound to it. It's just like him. I don't know. But I appreciate this. It is a slow... It could be told as a slow burn. Because Oney and Danny were only part of this thing because Ridge got hurt.
Right.
Pat McAfee, who is a babyface announcer on SmackDown, like, I want him to show up on NXT next week and cut a heel promo explaining the whole thing and how it was all a big, long con. And then show up on Friday again and be like babyface announcer Pat McAfee. But they were only in this group because Ridge got hurt. And I love that Pat said, well, if I had to find somebody to replace Ridge, so why not the guys who injured him? I paid him a bunch of money, and they said, sure, we'll come work for you. Which means they were never really part of the group. They were just mercenaries. And also, I feel like Ridge probably doesn't like them because they're the ones who injured him. So he's got to work with them. And I love that, like, the first time they were proven to be the weak link, Pete Dunne was like, nah, you're done. Get out of here. And I did love him looking at Oney, who's like, why, Pete? Why? And Pete's just like, I don't care. I'm Pete Dunne. I don't care. And then they beat the hell out of Oney. And so Oney and Tui are done. Oney, Tui, and screw Yui, you're out. Get away. And I don't, this is probably a, can you do a double turn where, like, the one group that's a heels, is now baby faces and the heels that turned on the heels are now more heels on top of heels.
All the heeliest heels that you could ever get. So this does make a lot more sense than, say, Sasha.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks, hiring people that can't beat her opponent as her henchwomen. I appreciate that. It's like, well, if you can't beat them, join them or have them join you. That makes a lot more sense. I think, and I'm not positive about this, isn't Pete Dunne under also just like a contract extension and not a fully signed contract?
We don't know. We know his contract was up at some point. He's apparently going to be on the show next week. So
okay.
Maybe they're just like, they extended him for a while. Maybe they're working on a longer extension.
This is where real life flux genuinely, I can't tune it out in my head. Like, this is with not knowing what the heck is coming down the pike and things like contract extensions that got extended, but even that's coming up. Like, this is where I can't set it aside because sincerely, he might just not be there one time or someone might just get called up. Like, this was hanging over my head the whole episode and it happened again here. So it was very hard to stay focused on just the story when there's literally just so much chaos and these were taped. So, you know, none of that played into this.
No.
Until now. It's very distracting.
Yeah. No, I would love, genuinely love, because sometimes I just root for the chaos. But I would love if next week on NXT, the Fatal 4-Way is now a triple threat, and they never mention Pete Dunne's name again.
Oh.
He's just gone. Ridge Holland is a solo act. They'll never bring it up. They'll never mention anything. When anybody like asks, hey, what happened to Pete Dunne? Like, what Pete Dunne? Who's Pete Dunne? Pete Dunne
never existed.
Pete Dunne's what, who? Bruiserweight? What? No. What? Guy who wears capri pants and loafers to do a stomp in a mud hole? I've never heard of him. Like, it's basically, they would turn into the Mariah Carey gif. I don't know her. Like, that's all of NXT would become. And I would love it because they, you know, they have no plans for how to deal with it.
No.
They have no plans for it. And
he dropped to Walter in like one of the most perfect matches you will ever see. And the most unbelievably told story. And they would flat out pretend.
And they've been really protecting him. Like, he beat Kushida in a non-title match clean. He beat Dragunov. He beat Dragunov. Like that was like a few weeks ago. He beat Dragunov, who like a few weeks later was like proved he was the toughest son of a bitch who's ever walked the earth. So like, I mean, they've really protected him. And so maybe they're protecting him so they can entice him to stay. But I just would love for like, okay, so we've brought up the new contract. Please show up. Pete Dunne, you're here. Thank you. Here's the contract. Would you please sign it? And he just goes. And he just walks away. And he just leaves. Just, no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go somewhere else. I don't know.
And I haven't paid attention to or heard, I don't know, any idea of how they're handling NXT UK, right? They haven't said anything about
means. They could dissolve it tomorrow. They honestly could. Like, what do they care? Like, it's just, you know, they could do they could release three quarters of them and say the last of them, if you want to be on a contract, you got to come to Cleveland and live in the States.
Here's just realized. They should not have taped these last 3 weeks. They should have just filmed Stamford, Connecticut. No episodes of NXT. Just film all of the stuff that's distracting me from the stories anyway. Because honestly, it is gripping me. Yeah. Does NXT UK exist? Who knows? Who's getting called up to the main roster? I don't know. Who has a contract extension? They don't even know anymore. Yeah. Just film Stamford instead of tape shows. It'll be equally, if not more, entertaining because they just don't know what they're doing.
I need an Office parody.
Yep.
That is the Stamford offices of people who have no idea what spreadsheet to look up to find Adam Cole's contract.
And fans would be like, my stapler's in Jell-O. Ha ha! Put it on TV. You would love it. Are you kidding?
Nerd Guru says, shout out to McAfee for that Cole tweet on Sunday.
Did you see that?
I did, of course.
Oh, so funny.
Bama 255019. Says that they sold something from UK. It wasn't NXT UK. Yeah, no, I know. It was different. But I don't know what to expect next week. I know I'll be wearing a tuxedo shirt because there's a wedding.
I got to figure out how I'm going to do a wedding and a funeral. I started with a funeral. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's so much pressure when you started with a funeral getup and then you were a rainbow sequin throw up mess. And then, now what do? I put too much pressure on myself.
Yeah, I don't know. It's too much. You got
to go to the thrift store.
You got to find a bridal veil.
I'll do half the show like this, like for the wedding. Then the other half of the show like this for the funeral. Be very Michael Jackson. Minus.
Oh, it would be really good. That would be really good. I want to do something rainbow. Like for the, I don't know what I'm too lazy to actually go through with anything, but like I wanted to do something rainbowy or bright colors. So it's not so dark. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll get like a little light or something that shoots rainbow lights or whatever.
Confetti or something.
Confetti. I'll be reaching into a bag of confetti and flinging it up in the air through the entire show like this. Joey Bag of Donuts asked, why don't I have to wear Bianca's gear? I have no idea what this is in reference to.
Okay, this was in reference to on Friday on SmackDown. Bianca came out in this stunning gear. She's so beautiful. She looks like a star. It was like all gemstones. And I said, tune into the SmackDown post show where Robert DeFelice will be wearing Bianca's gear. He did not wear Bianca's gear, much to my dismay. Robert, but he did sing LFO with me, so you know it's a toss-up.
That's bad. that's good.
The answer is because Bianca is not on NXT. No. We could get you in the 5,000-year-old zombie dragon
league getup, though. That would be really good. Maybe I'll cosplay as one half of Caucasians of Pain. But anyway, that was NXT. And also a half hour of us just shooting the shit about anything but NXT.
That was NXT in so many ways.
That was NXT. And we'll see what NXT is going forward next week. I agree with you, man. Just if it's gonna become the game show, do it right. Do it at the beginning. Don't keep me hanging on. Rip the Band-Aid right off. Yeah. Let's do it.
Give us the incest storyline.
Yeah. Last chat of the night. Nerd Guru says Steen and Kingston need to promo each other. Can we get that? Please. I would love it. So anyway, you can follow me on the Twitter. At Alex Sour Graps. I'm going to be doing the Raw show for Fightful Select, my Raw Sour Graps show. Stuff happened last night. Like most of the night was technically one match. It was just like the first half of the match was at the beginning and the second half of the match was at the end. And we got by the end of the night, we were right back where we started at the beginning of last week. So good. Great. I'm glad we did all of that. Plus, Jeff Hardy is basically Drew Gulak now. So maybe we're going to do a funeral for Jeff Hardy on the Sour Grap show. Hey, Kate,
hey,
why don't you tell them where they can follow you?
Hey. You guys can follow me at Kate on Deck. I see. I have all the shows that I'm going to be on in a little graphic pinned to the top of it. But the Mark Order podcast tomorrow, right after Dynamite, I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about at Mark Order Pod. I'm also joining Sean Ross Sapp on Fridays for the AEW Rampage and SmackDown post show as well. So please tune into both of those things. Please leave a thumbs up on your way out. And please go subscribe to Fightful Select. We're holy crap. It's real fun to follow that the WWE doesn't know when their own contracts end. Sean knows. They don't know.
They have no idea. Oh, well, we'll see you next week for more of this crazy stuff. Bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.